Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right. Without further ado, joining us now on Gwen and Chris, Mark Ziegler, San Diego Union Tribune. Mark, how are you doing today, first and foremost?
I'm doing okay. Getting ready to leave for Denver and Fort Collins. See a basketball game tomorrow night.
Well, you're getting an up close look at a team that is playing some really, really good basketball. You put out a tweet yesterday about the Aztecs not being ranked. What in the world do they got to do to get in the top 25 at this point?
You know, it's a good question. I mean, they were so far down. They only had two votes total that coming into the week that, I mean, they had a lot of ground to make up, and they did make a lot of ground. So they're technically 28th right now. But, I mean, you know, look, you're a mid-major team. You're not going to get a lot of recognition. Their games were on Fox Sport 1. Yeah, you could see it nationally, but they weren't on ESPN. And it wasn't where all the East Coast writers were right. In Las Vegas. And the thing I found interesting is that the writer who covers the Texas Tech, the writer from Lubbock, the Lubbock newspaper, has a vote in the AP Top 25. He was in Las Vegas. The team he covers lost to Creighton and Iowa. And Creighton and Iowa then were lost by double figures to San Diego State. He was there. He didn't even put San Diego State in his top 25. So that gives you an idea of how little respect mid-major teams get sometimes.
Yeah. Well, let's go down to Texas Tech and beat that guy. Silly.
Yeah.
Not like happy that. With him. All right. Let me ask you this, Mark. Through eight games, a little hard to make the full comparison, but going to ask you, what do you see in this team that we had in 2011? Maybe what don't you see in this team that 2011 had to be able to go, you know, 20-0 and beyond?
Well, they're kind of the same teams, but they're also a little bit different. They're same in the fact that obviously they're winning, and they've got a lot of veterans on the team. You remember DJ Gay was the point guard of that team. He was a senior. You had Billy White, senior. You had Malcolm Thomas, senior. And then you had a stud in Kawhi Leonard. That team was probably a little bit more active defensively, and they trapped a little bit more in the press, and they could force turnovers in that press. But they also played lower scoring games and just kind of ground out victories and ground you into submission and walked it up and ran their offense and got a shot, maybe got an offensive rebound. And this team has got a lot more offensive weapons, I think, in terms of perimeter shooting, in terms of inside out attack. And so they can hurt you in a lot of ways. But the one thing and the one similarity is this sort of this grit. When they, I remember that 2010-11 team got down by 20 something in a nothing tournament early in the season against like Miami. It was against like IUPUI or it was Wisconsin Green Bay. So it was Green Bay.
Oh, I remember.
They were down
that
20
game.
Something.
Yeah, I remember.
And
that.
They came back and won. And it showed me a lot early in the season. And this team has come back now from 9 down at BYU and 16 down against a Big Ten team. And that kind of shows you they don't panic. They're together. They're the ultimate sort of team. They're not selfish. And so those are qualities that you see in both teams. But, you know, this team's got a long way to go to get to 34-3.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. Mark Ziegler, San Diego Union Tribune, joins us here on Gwen and Chris. Mark, I went to school there from 2000 to 2003. I've been following this basketball
program.
Did you
guys win 8 games in that entire time?
I think we did. Probably got around that
barely. Yeah.
Mark, one of the things that was impressive watching this Aztec ball club play this past weekend, when I got a chance to sit down and watch a full game, was this the first time I can remember, at least in my time at San Diego State, since my time at San Diego State, them looking that efficient in a half-court set. Like, even that 2010-11 team, they were so good defensively. It just seemed like everything kind of flowed off of that. I saw in that game against Iowa them swing the ball from one side of the floor to the other, drop it down low, the inside out. You're talking about, is this the best half-court offense that we've seen from an Aztec team?
It has a potential to be. They've had some rough stretches. You know, the first part of the game against, or in the middle of the first half against Iowa, they really got into a funk. And remember, against, I guess it was Tennessee State, they went 8.5 minutes without a basket. So they do have the potential not to be dominant on offense. But, yes, potentially they do. And you have to remember, KJ Fagan, you know, came from Santa Clara. He averaged 17.5 points. It was a first-team all-conference selection in the WCC, which, you know, has Gonzaga, St. Mary's, BYU, has some pretty good guards in that league. He has not really gotten on track yet. We finally saw Malachi Flynn get on track, and you saw what he could do. Now wait when KJ gets going, and you'll really start seeing things. You've seen Jordan Shackle, what he can do. You can see what Matt Mitchell, coming off the bench right now, would be a starter on pretty much any other team on the West Coast. What he can do offensively. Yanni Wetzel in the post. Nathan Metzger really hasn't gotten that going. He has a lot of potential down in the post if they put the best big on Yanni Wetzel and he gets a smaller, slower, shorter guy. And so, I mean, they do have the potential to be really, really good in the half court. But, again, there's a lot of new faces, new pieces. They're still figuring each other out. I just think they're going to get better as the season goes on.
Mark Ziegler's with us. He has been so good to us talking Aztec men's basketball here. Colorado State is the conference opener tomorrow night. I want to talk about that game in a second. But the one question I had is because, you know, they show him every game sitting in the stands, no matter where they play, home, away, and as long as it's pretty close by. But Coach Fisher's still right around this team. And I'm just curious the dynamic between Coach Fisher and Brian Dutcher. I know this is now Brian Dutcher's team. I give him all the credit. He's doing a fantastic job as far as I'm concerned. Does Coach Fisher still jump in with a kind word from time to time, or is he strictly a spectator?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, he tries to be a spectator, but every now and then Coach Dutcher and Coach Fisher talk all the time. And Coach Fisher, every practice, picking up his son. I just saw him today. And he's such a wise, you know, he's been through this a zillion times. He can just watch half a practice and pick things out. And so, I think you'd be crazy if you were Brian Dutcher and you didn't tap into that resource and wealth of knowledge. And so he does. But he's really, really good about sort of not overstepping his bounds and knowing where his lane is and staying in it. And then when he's asked, he'll do something. Every now and then he'll talk to a player, or he's asked, hey, what do you think about this? Or how do we approach this? What do you think? And he'll give his opinion. Great resource to have, but it's a really healthy relationship. And, you know, you can see the potential, and I've seen it, and I'm not going to go into names, but at other big programs where a guy has retired and has come to the games, there's a huge shadow cast.
Right,
and in this case, it's not a very big shadow because, Steve Fisher, that's just not who he is, and he makes sure that there isn't a big shadow.
Mark, one last question for me. As we get ready for conference play starting tomorrow, Aztecs up at Colorado State, is everything looking the way it's supposed to be in terms of who's going to finish where conference-wise? Are the teams that were expected to be at the top, have they played well thus far? And who do you think, other than San Diego State, will be a threat?
Well, Utah State is very, very good, and they still don't have Nemeas Queda, their stud center, who's really one of the best players in the league and might have the best pro potential of anybody in the league. He's at least, they list him as 7 feet. He's at least that. He's huge. He's mobile. He blocks shots. He has some offensive game, just a presence. Now, he's not playing at all, and I'm not sure when or if he's going to be back. They're playing great without him, and so they're going to certainly be – they're certainly the favorite in the conference. San Diego State is right there with them. In many metrics, San Diego State has jumped ahead of them in the last week because they played tougher competition and beat them. And then it drops off a little bit, not in terms of talent, but just in terms of, you know, can they put it together? Can they have the chemistry they have not shown they've had in the last few years? To new, more of a jump to teams like Boise State, Fresno State, Nevada. Colorado State might be in that mix a little bit. But, you know, the disappointing team so far have been UNLV with their new coach, has not played well. They're 3-6. They do have the potential to play well, but they haven't so far. Air Force, which had everybody back and people thought they'd be a pretty good team, they have a losing record and they haven't played well. And Fresno State's 2-4, and people thought they would be pretty good this year. And they've just decided to go with younger players and are really struggling so far. So those three teams have been a disappointment. I think Colorado State has been the surprise. Better than people thought, and everyone else has kind of been what they expected.
When do we start selling out Viejas Arena again and going crazy like we did 10 years ago? Is that on the horizon here, Mark? Do you sense some of that building?
I definitely do. I mean, you know this town. It's a bandwagon town. We have to admit. We are what we are, and let's just embrace it and go with it.
Yeah.
But I think they're getting closer. They've had a couple of ticket deals. I think they just sent me a note that there's 900 seats left for San Jose State, which tells you something because it's San Jose State, and they went 1-17 last year. So I think we're going to get closer. I think by the time we get back into conference play in January, I think you'll start seeing full houses if they keep winning, because that's sort of the key ingredient there.
Yep, key ingredient. San Diego must win games.
Yeah. They lose a game, they'll be calling for Dutcher's head.
Mark,
crazy.
I agree. Yeah. That's why I went ahead and made sure I got tickets to that San Jose State game, because I know pretty soon it's going to be tough to get tickets. Mark, as always, man, we appreciate you coming on, giving us some of your
knowledge. Hey, my pleasure.
Have a good trip to the court.
Hey, anytime.
Thanks,
all right,
Mark.
Will do.
All right, Mark Ziegler right there, San Diego Union Tribune.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.